Chair, you are on the record.
Oh, hold on.
Chair, you are on the record. As a reminder to the board, please remember to state your name for the record when speaking.
Good luck with that, David. Okay, so your mic's off, right? All right, so I'm on. Is the door closed? I thought there'd be more people on holiday today. I guess not. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to December 4th ADA meeting. I will call the meeting to order. And we have someone new driving the computer today, David Kennedy. Welcome. Would you do a roll call on the board members?
Commissioner Sandy?
I'm here.
Commissioner Crum?
Present.
Mr. Elledge?
Here.
Mr. Kendig?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Mr. Vivlamore? Not present.
He'll be absent today.
Mr. Pruse?
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Before us today on item number 3 is our agenda. I'd ask the board members to take a look at the agenda. If they have any questions or views or deliberations that they want to talk about or changes, is there anybody wishing to do anything? If not, I'll take a motion.
This is Bill Kendig. I move to approve the agenda as presented.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Any further discussion on our agenda? Hearing none, David, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes. Thank you.
The motion passes.
Because the agenda is a little bit different this year, that's why I wanted everybody to vote on record for it. So, okay, brings us up to item number 4, prior minutes for October 23rd and November 7th. So, if everybody had a chance to look at those minutes, and does anybody have any comments or corrections on it?
This is Bill Kendig. I move the prior minutes of October 23rd, November 7th as presented.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Further discussion. Is there any objection to adopting the minutes for October 23rd and November 7th? Hearing none, those minutes are adopted. Okay, before we get into the meeting, which looks like executive session is first, if David, what I'd like to do is make sure for the record everybody understands. Everybody that's in, we got kind of a full boardroom today, so I think it would help the board members to understand who's what, where, and when. So if we could get them to stand up and state their name and affiliation, we'll start over here with Ken.
Ken Sullivan, General Counsel for ADA. Commissioner Hick with the Atlanta Gasline Development Corporation.
We cannot hear online.
That's all right. We're just trying to get it for the record.
I can speak up. I'm Katie Stackow with Alvin Rogers.
And what is that, attorneys?
A CPA.
CPA, okay.
Karen Lozano, paralegal for AIM.
Okay. Alex Tamar Bond, anchor Daily News. Lee Cruz, the governor's office. If anybody wants to come up here and speak into the mic one at a time.
Does that thing not work?
No.
Does it need batteries or something?
Yeah. It'll hear from here.
Lee Cruz, Office of the Governor.
Come on up.
Veronica Jones, ASRC Energy Services.
Karen Turner, Human Resources Director for ADA.
Frank Richard, JGDC.
Trish Baker, Chugach Electric.
Angela Keast, HDR Consulting.
Leonard Robertson, IT Director for ADA.
Brandon Brzezinski, Deputy Director, ADA.
Vicky Sresta, BDO, the Auditors.
I'm Zach Albert. I'm the controller for ADA.
Jeff Johns, ADA Chief Investment Officer.
Jorge Garza, Senior Investment Officer for ADA.
Tiffany Jansen, Chief Lending Officer, ADA.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. That way we know who's all here. And so first up is going to be, before we get into the, what I call the meeting, we're going to have our executive session to go over our finances, I think, and the loan participation plan, which obviously has some confidential information for people looking to use ADA for development dollars and or loans. So so that our executive session is confidential deliberate matters related to loan participation, review of ADA FY22 audited financial statements, authorizing the FY22 dividend. This is all just a discussion, nothing formal. Anmore Leasing, ADA investment policy, ADA projects, all of which are subject to deliberate process privilege, executive process privilege, or any other legal exemptions from the Open Meeting Act. Also, matters related to ADA subject to the attorney-client privilege that will be discussed. That I will entertain a motion.
This is Bill Kendig. I move that the board enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing the following: ADA finances, ADA's internal investment policy, potential project investment opportunities and loan participations, other matters related to ADA, and matters that are subject to specific legal advice, which is subject to the attorney-client privilege. These matters, which if discussed publicly, could have an adverse effect on the finances of ADA, are matters that are attorney-client privileged, and matters involving consideration of issues that by law are not subject to public disclosure due to their executive or deliberative process privilege or other law. The executive session and matters discussed therein are proper subjects for an executive session under the Alaska Open Meetings Act, reference Alaska Statute 44-62-310C1, 3, and 4, and the Alaska Public Records Act.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Discussion? Hearing no. David, will you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. All right, so Randy? You people
Which one?
Here. So,
Chair, if I could get just a few minutes with just myself on a few updates, and then I'll move quickly into
well,
the...
Well, let's let everybody know what kind of...
Chair,
what
do you want me to come?
I'm sorry?
Do you want me to stop?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
So let's discuss the order of which we're going to talk, discussions order. For folks here, so some of them here will want an executive session.
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Let's see. So after your update, Randy, let's go to talk about the financial statements, the dividend. And then we'll put the loan at the bottom. Start with that. Okay.
Chair, you're back on the record.
All right, folks, thank you. So let me find my big statement here that I'm supposed to say to make sure that we don't get in trouble. Who's got the? You got to say you haven't been in. You haven't done anything. I got that. Thanks.
It's the bottom of the motion.
All right. I'll advise the board, the public, the board is not taking action on the matters while we discuss the executive session. The session is limited to discussion of matters directly protected from public disclosures by the Open Meetings Act. David, thank you for this. You'd think I'd know it by heart by now, but. All right. Back to our agenda. We are done with the executive session. Brings us to item number B on new business, resolution L24-06, JT Investments.
Mr. Chairman, resolution L24-06 is a loan participation resolution authorizing my ability to go forward and execute the loan to JT Investments, LLC. It's an Alaska company based in Fairbanks, owned by Mr. John Thies. Mr. Thies is also the 100% owner of the operating entity that will occupy the new building to be built with the loan funds, Golden Heart Waste Management. Golden Heart is a co-borrower on the loan, and Mr. Thies is also guaranteeing the loan. This loan will fund their expansion to a new building, 13,300 square feet. It'll be a single-tenant building for Golden Heart Waste Management, LLC. The loan is secured with a first deed of trust with an assignment of rents, and appraisal shows a $5.53 million value when the project is complete. That's a 72% loan-to-value ratio. Term of the note is 25 years at 6.39%, and the proposed debt service exceeds the minimum required standard of 1.25 to 1. The loan meets all ADA standards and requirements, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you. I've got some questions, but I'll defer to the board right now for questions.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Randy.
Randy Elledge. Randy, does that loan include the property, what is it, 5.3 acres? Does that include the improvement of that property?
Member Elledge, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, typically, and maybe I missed it because I didn't have my board packet, so I'm looking. Typically, we're provided with a personal financial statement. Is it in our confidential?
Yes, it's in the confidential packet.
Is it in order?
I have it here.
How far back is it? So, Tiffany, how long has this business been in? How long has Mr. Thies operated this business, and how long has it been in the business?
2019 is when he started Golden Heart Waste Management.
2019?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What did he do before that?
He also operates a construction firm, Worry Free Alaska. He also has an investment portfolio as well.
And I must have missed it.
You want me to come up? I think I can see it's at the back of the confidential.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. So you say 2019?
Correct.
Okay. How many people does he employ?
Right now, there is 12 retained, and this job, new job, will create 10 as well.
Okay. And he operates. He has a service agreement or a service authorization within what, the borough?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And when does that expire, or does it ever?
I'm not sure if it does expire. I do not have an expiration date on that.
Okay. Did you look? Could you look in the future?
We can look.
Okay. And is there anything tied to that? Does he have to have a debt to equity ratio, or does he have to have a
Not that I'm aware of.
You know. Is the borrower here today?
The borrower is in Fairbanks, so you can call in. So they are waiting if you would like to call to talk to them. That also is the lender as well.
Okay. Is there any questions from the borrower?
I think so, Mr. Chairman.
So he has a construction business and he does what, vertical construction or?
Mainly what he's working on now with the worry-free construction. Is that what you're asking about, the construction portion of it?
Construction
business, yeah. It's basically commercial grading is what, grading is what he's working on.
Grading?
Engraving. No, commercial grading is excavation.
Okay.
So he's doing all of that.
Ground engagement.
Yeah.
Okay, we call it, if he's working in the dirt, it's civil.
Working in the dirt, yes.
Okay.
And right now I'm asking the lender if there's a lease or something surrounding the borough right now.
And the property is where?
Property is off of Pegger in the industrial section.
Pegger is a fairly long road.
So in Pegger in Tiburon is the corner street.
How close is it to the town of River? How close is it to the town of River? Is it south of Van Horn?
You're making me think in my head here if it's south of Van Horn. So let me take a look. So, yeah, so it's off of Frank and Pegger at that corner and Tiburon on the right. I'm not sure if that's north or south of the river.
A couple miles long, 3 miles long at least.
Mm-hmm.
Frank?
So Frank and Pegger.
It's south of Van Horn.
Okay. So Fairbanks has got a PFAS problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so have we done an environmental?
Yep, they did a phase one. They did additional sampling. There had been petroleum contaminant in the plume before, but it's been natural, has gone into, and I've actually written this down so you can have it from the phase one. So it's gone through natural attenuation and no contamination was identified.
They tested the water?
Mm-hmm. They actually did additional sampling as well with the phase one.
Okay, so it's a well, obviously, down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on city water?
No.
Okay, it's septic?
There would be in that area, I would believe, yes.
Okay. The reason why I ask is, as a family, we developed a lot of property on Baker Road.
Mm-hmm.
And the fire department, years ago, a big plume, PFAS, and it moves around because the water table is so high.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. All right, so the contamination is addressed.
Correct.
Okay. That's got a clean bill of health.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman's been operating his business for 5 or 6 years?
Correct.
Okay.
And he's grown, he has an upward trend of growth, competitive-wise up there. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know some of the thieves. I don't know this gentleman, but
okay.
It's a Fairbanks family. I know who they are.
Yes.
I don't know who he's. Whose son he is, but I'm
I don't know whose son he is either.
Is he Howard?
I think it's Howard's son. John, please. Yeah, I know John.
Your chairman. Call Howard and get a lowdown. Go ahead.
Just if you could explain the terms of this arrangement with Northrum and Ada. The terms are different. Northrum has a variable rate. Ours is fixed.
Correct.
Why do we not line up the terms of the loan and have basically two different loans at two different time frames, different rates?
Mm-hmm.
Explain why.
So the statute requires that the lender has to pay off within 50% of our years that we put. So if we put 25 years, they have to pay off in at least 12 and a half years. And that's per the statute. Every lender that we work with is typically working with a variable rate, and that margin is dependent upon what they decide for the portfolio. So they've come up with 15 years. It's above the 50%, which is below, again, our 25. We're coming in at fixed rate. That is how it would need to work for this to pencil. If we were to go variable, it would not work out the same way. And fixed rate allows them a budget to pay it back like they would anything else,
put
mortgage.
Record, what is the interest rate?
6.39. Okay. For Ada's side.
What's Northrum's side?
Northrum's side, it's a variable rate, Boston plus 3.5%. It's a Federal Home Loan Bank.
Okay.
All right. Randy, Julie, Adam, any questions? All right, I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion resolution number L24-06, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority regarding purchase by the authority of a participation in JT Investments, Alaska, LLC.
I'll need a second, folks. Julie or Adam?
Commissioner Sandy, my second.
All right, thank you. All right, any further comments, discussions? David, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig is not present anymore. Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Proves?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Brings us to item number B or C on our agenda, new business, FY 2024 8 audited financial statements adopted by motion. So let's do a motion with a second, then we'll have a discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to propose that resolution number G24-15, the ADA audited financial statements for fiscal year 2026 be approved.
Mr. Chair, sorry, I think Member Fogel, I think we're on 5C on the audited financial statements.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just a pure motion.
I'm sorry. I'd like to make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2024 ADA audited financial statements.
Second.
All right. Discussion. So, Randy, you want to give a general overview on how we did this year?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. So, ADA actually had a very good year, and statutory net income was close to $65 million. Increased our net position by, I think, $54 million. We do have a pretty strong pipeline of projects right now, and we are wanting to actually amend the financial statements to show that committed or reserved funding for those projects, so that the statements should be adopted with the note that amendment needs to be inputted into the financial statements to show that pipeline of projects.
All right. So based on legal counsel, I would like to add to the financial statement, adopted as amended, page 24, addressing ADA's statement of net position by under assets, current assets, cash equivalents, unrestricted, inserting two columns. The first would be identified as a reserve for loans or investment, and the second identified as unrestricted. Does the person that put the motion out agree to that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I would
agree to that modification.
I agree with that amendment.
All right.
Additional language.
Would the second, whoever seconded, do it?
Second.
Thank you. All right. So further discussion, Randy? So on the financials?
Sure. So, Mr. Chairman, the operating revenues were at $65,420,000. Red Dog revenue from Red Dog Mine continues to be a foundation of our income. We did increase our investment income noticeably up to roughly $26 million. So we're moving in the right direction there. We've also completed a management review of accounts, hundreds of accounts, and consolidated funds that were not put to the highest and best use. Those funds are now consolidated and producing maximum benefit under our investment policy. I think our leases are all in order. Our revenues all flowing from our leases for Camp Denali, FedEx Hangar. Ketchikan Shipyard is a project that management's working on right now to try to increase revenue. We have some ideas, and I think we'll be able to present those at the next board meeting. Okay.
Further questions for Randy on the audited financials? All right. David, would you poll the board on accepting the audited financials with the added amendment?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. All right. Brings us to item number D, Resolution G24-15, declaring FY26 dividend back to the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Resolution G24-15 will serve as the vehicle to declare the FY26 dividend from ADA. As board members likely recall, the dividend must be between 25 and 50% of the statutory net income for each of the three funds, the revolving fund, the Arctic Infrastructure Fund, and the Sustainable Energy Transmission Fund. Neither the AIDF or SETS had a positive statutory net income, so there is no dividend to declare from those funds. The revolving fund had a statutory net income of $66,082,741. A 50% dividend would be $33,041,371. A 25% dividend, the minimum would be $16,520,685. It's up to the board's discretion to set the dividend between 25 and 50%.
All right, thank you. Let's get the resolution on the table for further discussion or entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I will now put G24-15 on the record. I'd like to motion that we approve this resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority determining dividends to be made available to the state for fiscal year 2026, providing allocations and a procedure for making dividends available. I also, we need a second first.
Yeah. Well, no, you got to put.
Oh, okay.
You would like to add these numbers okay. Under section one.
Please. So, under section one, I would like to make an amendment with my motion that we, under section one, it says in accordance with AS 44-88-088A1, the authorities shall make the sum of, I would like to include $20 million at 30% available to the state as a dividend from the revolving fund for fiscal year 2026.
All right, so for clarification, the resolution would be the sum of $20 million available out of our revolving fund, and the amount is roughly equal to 30% of the FY 2024 statutory net income. Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Sandy, a second.
All right. Discussion. Adam?
That's a substantial jump from last year's dividend to the state. What's the ballpark, Randy, that this puts like total dividends ADA's paid out?
Member Crum, this will bring the total historical payment of dividends by ADA to the state treasury at nearly $500 million. Half a billion with a B.
Has ADA always paid a dividend to the state each year?
ADA has always paid a dividend to the state.
And you only could do that if you're profitable and bring it in based on the statutory net income calculation?
Correct. That's the tie-in.
Further discussion.
Director Raro, do you happen to have in front of you, just for fun, what some of the dividend amounts were over the last 5 years? I know that we talked about historical, and I think that was starting in when did we start offering a dividend?
97.
In 97.
94, 97.
The only reason I ask is because I want to make sure that we put on the record again just like Commissioner Crum did just a second ago, you know, the value of those dividends and what they represent in services to the people of Alaska and the ADA staff, the board, you know, how much time and effort is put into each of the decisions that come before us. The staff put in a tremendous amount of work and time to make the recommendations that they do. And despite all of that, there are times where, especially as the executive director, you're put in a position to have to defend an organization that, in my mind, is making really good decisions on behalf of Alaskans. And certainly at the time in which we return funds in the form of a dividend, I can't think of another better way to demonstrate that success. But perhaps just for the record today, you could just list the amounts in the last 5 years that we, since I've been on this board, that we have issued funds back to the general fund as a dividend to the state of Alaska.
Yes, Member Sandy, the dividend amount of $20 million is the largest dividend in the last decade, going back to 2014. Previous year's dividend, 2024, fiscal year 2024, was $17,904,000. Fiscal year 2023 was $6,480,000. Fiscal year 2022 was $17,305,000. And fiscal year 2020 was $10,285,000.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, Randy, it goes without saying that you and your staff should be congratulated on being able to provide a dividend back to the shareholders of ADA, which is the public, every Alaska resident. And you know, you guys work very, very hard to make the best business decisions. Not everyone is 100%. I don't know of anybody that it bats 100%. In the baseball world, if you're batting 300, you're doing pretty good. But to be congratulated for both you, staff, and for those hardworking Alaskans within this building that work every day to try to maximize employment that ADA's tries to do in a rate of return or dividend to the state. So that, thank you for that.
Thank you, Chair.
Is there any further comments on this resolution before I ask for a vote? Hearing none, David, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Next up on the under a new business is E, Resolution G24-16, ADA Investment Policy. Randy?
Thank you, Chair. Resolution G24-16 is a resolution that amends the existing investment policy of ADA to allow for a targeted 20% investment in equities. Prior to this change, we had been in 100% in fixed income. The revised policy should generate additional revenue, and it mitigates risk of being locked into a single investment approach. The board has heard prior from consultants and staff, and staff recommends approval of the resolution.
Thank you, Randy. All right. Questions for Randy or Jeff on this resolution before we move it?
Mr. Chairman, would Jeff be able to provide a brief synopsis of the changes that we are making to our investment policy?
Certainly, Board Member Fogle and members of the board. As Executive Director Roro summarized, is our current investment policy is structured very conservatively on 100% fixed income securities, corporate bonds, government treasuries and things like that. And as the board heard in September through our external advisors, Callan, our returns have been modest, around 3% annualized over the last several years. Subsequent to that, we had a Callan perform an external and benchmarking analysis in terms of our current investment policy, as opposed to the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, through the Department of Revenue and Treasury Department, as well as other lower 48 development finance authorities and investment funds. And ultimately, it was determined that we are potentially focused in one asset class, and that is not a prudent investor, of which we are subject to the prudent investor rule. And introducing equities allows for that diversification. And also through their analysis is the introduction of equities actually will generate excess returns or alpha for ADA and the benefit of our development finance programs.
Thank you.
Adam? Does the IPS as written, this new proposed IPS, provide you with the flexibility you need to kind of make those decisions internally?
It does. It contemplates, as Executive Director Raro indicated, as a target of 20% equity with bands or benchmarks. And what that does is allow us, if those triggers are hit, a rebalancing. And additionally, it contemplates investment management agreements with either current or new external investment managers. And those investment management agreements will be tailored to those specific types of equity investments we will be pursuing.
Thank you. And it's just as someone who sits on a lot of investment boards, 20% equities, the rest in fixed income or cash, is still a very low risk profile. You would see a 70-30, if not 60-40 mix typically.
Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? All right. I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to motion resolution number G24-16, amended and restated resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to investment policy statement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Adam. Further discussion? Hearing none, David, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Mr.
Elledge?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Out of sight, out of mind, Randy.
I know.
Sorry
Thank
about
you.
That.
All no right. word.
You're used to it.
Nothing like a guilt trip.
Yeah. All right. Next up is item on our new business agenda is F, resolution G24-17, AGDC, Alaska Gasoline Development Corporation.
Thank you, Mr.
Randy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So resolution G24-17 would authorize myself to continue conducting due diligence and entering into an agreement with AGDC to backstop a up to $50 million expenditure for a feed study that would be a gap analysis of the prior work that's completed and is in the possession of AGDC. And we're in those negotiations now. We've been meeting regularly for 2 or 3 weeks, but this would give me the formal approval I need to actually execute an agreement.
If we could ask Frank Richards to come up and explain why he needs a backstop, what it means, position of the administration and the legislature, or any of that kind, the whole bit, Frank, for the record. Welcome.
For the record, Frank Richards, president of the Alaska Gasoline Development Corporation. You want the entire?
Not the entire, but enough so that folks can understand what and why we're doing things.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the ADA board, I appreciate this opportunity. What we're talking about today is the Alaska LNG project, which is the project that AGDC has been directed to progress by the state of Alaska through the legislature and through subsequent administrations. Where we find ourselves is we've been in a capital raise looking for funding to be able to move the project to its next major stage gate, which is entry into front-end engineering and design, or FEED. The Alaska LNG project is that very large integrated project that includes gas treatment on the slope, a pipeline from the slope, north slope down to south central in Nikiski, where it will terminate at a liquefaction facility. What we are talking about today, though, is a subsequent phase of the project that was really what we have described as phase one, which is the pipeline that would deliver north slope gas to meet Alaska's needs within interior Alaska, meaning Fairbanks and the North Fairbanks North Star Borough, but also for South Central, where we see a looming challenge with the decline in production in Cook Inlet. So this initial phase is a part of the fully permitted project. So that means that we've gone through the gauntlet of the federal regulatory process. We've been granted rights away across state and federal lands, and we have those now to be able to move forward for to meet the needs of Alaska. So this initial phase really requires an update of the engineering and design work that has been done, as well as a cost update. So if you recall, the work that was handed to us by our former partners with Exxon, BP, and Conoco was at a pre-FEED level of design. So this will allow us to essentially bring that cost estimate up to current dollars, $20-$25, if we're able to proceed here very quickly, and be able to then look again at the execution plans to be able to validate that this pipeline will be constructed in a sequence that will be able to provide gas to Alaskans at the earliest possible date. Our need to go forward with this, we've been engaged with North America's largest pipeline company who has keen interest in developing and working with us. They have identified that they are willing to undertake this FEED level of effort on their own, at their own expense, but because it's really just looking at the initial phase of the project, they would like to make sure that there is a backstop, meaning that they would be paid should the project not take the next logical step, which is final investment decision. So this is the opportunity then for Alaska, in working with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, to be able to provide that backstop for this company to start on that FEED effort as soon as we are able to come to agreement and execute an agreement between ourselves and ADA. So it's really this initial step is very critical because it unlocks private sector funding to be able to move forward. ADA in its role will be able to then hopefully provide a standby letter of credit, which will stay in the ADA accounts, generate interest, which remains available to ADA, and only draw on this if a final investment decision is not made to move the project forward. So it is an escrow type of approach that would allow the private sector development to utilize their resources, utilize their money, and expedite this process of going forward and provide then updated cost estimates that will then be used in terms of securing contracts that will underpin the financing of this project going forward.
Okay, thank you, Frank. So thinking about this resolution in front of us, I think Commissioner Sandy has something she'd like to say.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the I appreciate the information, Frank. In consideration of Resolution G24-17, I'd like to respectfully recuse myself from consideration on this resolution by the ADA board, as my board seat and participation on the AGDC board could be seen as some could be considered a conflict. Therefore, I'd just like to recuse myself.
As the chairman, I agree with the potential conflict. Is there any objection?
No.
And then, all right. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Questions for Frank?
This project's been around for a very long time. What has changed in the economics of this and the approach?
Through the chair, Commissioner Crum, one of the biggest changes that we've had is that we again signed a gas sales precedent agreement with a developer called Great Bear Pantheon. And why I bring that to light is that it is a new development that it will be under production here hopefully by the end of this decade, but it provides a gas source that doesn't require any gas treatment. So therefore, the large plant that we had originally envisioned for the gas coming out of Prudhoe Bay and Point Thompson required a $10 to $12 billion gas treatment plant on the North Slope to capture the carbon dioxide and ultimately sequester it. This development about 20 miles south of Prudhoe Bay has a natural gas with only about 0.5% or 0.5% of the gas constituent is carbon dioxide. Therefore, it can flow directly into a pipeline, meet the existing utility specifications in terms of CO2 content. It doesn't require that large plant, and it saves nearly 20 to 25 miles of pipeline from the overall cost of the project. Now, that alone is not the main driver. The other driver is in working with the pipeline company. They're coming in with a rate of return that's significantly lower than what we've seen from other private investors previously. When it was the international oil companies, they wanted, you know, high teens or in 20% rates of return, whereas the pipeline company is looking for utility rates of return. So that means the overall cost delivered in the product to the ultimately to the then South Central and Interior utilities will be lower than having to pay for a higher rate of return.
So Frank, for more details on what you just said. So what you're saying is this gas 20 miles south of the North Slope, what I would call Prudhoe Bay, doesn't have to be conditioned, similar to the gas at Cook Inlet, so you don't need to modify it or take out CO2. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
So what's the cost of this pipeline? What size is it?
So this pipeline is the 42-inch diameter mainline pipeline as designed for the entire Alaska LNG project. The cost component for this phase one of the project is about $10.8 billion.
All right. Is there a contingency in that?
Yes, sir. There's 20% contingency in that number.
Okay. And in your estimation, based on today's dollars versus what the utilities are paying for, and I assume the gas is going to be bought by utilities, whether it's NSTAR, you know, Golden Valley Electric, Matanuska Electric, Chugach Electric, all the way down to Homer Electric. In your estimation, based on your economic modeling, where does this gas sit compared to one existing prices compared to LNG coming into St. Nikiski?
So, Mr. Chairman, if you may recall, Wood Mackenzie did a recent evaluation of the project, looking at its economics, looking at its economic value, but also looking at the cost comparison between imported LNG and the cost of pipeline delivered gas. The Wood Mackenzie case said that based on existing utility rates, which will have somewhat of a decline as they shift over to other forms of energy, they came in at a rate of about $11.20 for the term of the pipeline contracts. This compares to what we're currently paying on my NSTAR bill of, I think, about $8.70. So it is an increase. However, the price of imported LNG was the other comparison. And Wood Mackenzie included a range of costs in their analysis, ranging from about $10.80 to $13.20, without the cost of a dock and facility to bring that gas to the existing pipeline system.
Would there be a regasification cost on top of that?
That included the regasification cost, but they didn't include approximately $500 million more in capital expenditures that we needed for the dock.
And so based on that, schedule-wise, when would gas first hit the market after construction, permitting, and all that stuff?
We are permitted, Mr. Chairman. The goal here is that we would enter into FEED soon after the start of the new year. We would have FEED completed in 2026, the contracts completed near the end of 26, and start construction after a final investment decision in 2027, meaning that the first gas available would be flowing in that late 2030, 2031 timeframe.
And the decline curve in Cook Inlet, how does that match up?
Well, I'm not an expert in the challenge has been that the producer, the main producer in Cook Inlet, has identified that it's no longer going to sign long-term contracts with the utilities. So that's why the utilities are looking quite expeditiously for a source of gas to be able to meet their needs as early as 2028 in the case of Chugach, and by 2032 in the case of NSTAR.
So is it safe to say that the utilities are looking for certainty, cost and certainty, and reliability?
Mr. Chairman, they are looking for certainty. They're certainly looking at the cost, and ultimately, as they've stated publicly, they see the value of a pipeline providing Alaska resources to Alaskans as one of their key priorities.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Randy, do you have any questions?
I think you covered everything that I was considering, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Frank, thanks for your presentation. Can you explain potentially the savings to the ratepayer that would be taken into an account, the natural gas pipeline versus the LNG imports?
Through the chair, Member Fogel, I would ask for my assistant, Nick, to be able to come forward. He has the numbers he created in the spreadsheet, so I want to be able to specifically address that.
And then a follow-up question, as you talk about these, that phase one, there's additional phases, and I would imagine there's opportunity to potentially export natural gas, and that would potentially further bring down cost to the ratepayers.
Through the chair, Member Fogel, absolutely. That's the cost that I referred to at $11.20 was really based on the consumption of gas by Alaskans and Alaskan utilities. As the more volume is coming down the pipeline, that will provide a volume discount to Alaskans, and the price will only go down. So Wood Mackenzie represented that. Again, if you had a small level of industrial demand, meaning if you brought on an ammonia plant or you had a data center or you had your first train of LNG that was under production, you would see that price go down from $11.20 into the $8 range, or similar to what we're currently paying now. And then ultimately, with full volume flowing down that pipe at 3.3 billion cubic feet a day, they were estimating the price then would drop to that $2.25. Mm-hmm. So significant cost savings by increasing the volume flow.
Thank you.
And I apologize, Nick is not my assistant. He is our venture development manager.
You can come up right there, Nick, if you want. Just turn the microphone on. I missed that.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Nick Shimoniak, venture development manager / assistant to Frank Richards at Alaska Gasline Development Corporation. Your question on the savings, I'm actually going to reference the Wood Mackenzie report, which was published. They looked at the savings to South Central residents as well as residents interior Alaska, and calculated it not just on a dollar per unit basis, but also on an annual savings to those communities, as well as on an annual savings per person. So under their base case in the WoodMac analysis, they estimate that when compared to imported LNG, which, as Frank pointed out, doesn't include all the costs, so this is quite a conservative estimate, that the phase one pipeline could save every single person in South Central Alaska up to $300 per year. And as new demand comes on for LNG exports at the full case, that savings could go up to $1,000 per year. So starting off with just the existing demand up to $300 in South Central, and then up to $1,000 once we fully expand the project. Now, as the chair often reminds me and has reminded me for years, South Central Alaskans aren't the only Alaskans, and in Fairbanks, they're paying even higher costs. So WoodMac also looked at the cost savings to residents in interior Alaska.
They're like $21 right now?
It's the number I understand delivered of trucking under the new project will be about $19.50, okay, delivered to the gate before it's stored and regasified. So kind of the closest comparison we have, and fuel oil is actually much higher than that at today's prices, I believe.
So the interior, And along the pipeline corridor, which would actually be Nenana, I mean, open up a lot of possibilities, Nenana, Cantwell, Talkeetna. Does the pipeline go up to Houston?
No, sir. We'll be on the west side of the river.
Yeah. Well, you can bore the river.
But for the for an interior resident under the base case with just the initial demand, the savings will be, you know, they estimate between about $882 and over $1,700 per person in the interior. And at full LNG,
on an annual basis, $1,700 per person?
On an annual basis, yes, sir. And at full build-out, that number increases to anywhere from $1,800 to $2,700, depending on the source of fuel, whether that's trucked LNG or fuel.
Based on that study?
Yes, this is available. These are numbers directly from the Wood Mackenzie report, available on the AGDC website.
So it's not just South Central?
No, sir.
Okay. How about Homer?
Homer will have the same cost as South Central Alaska.
But what in today's, aren't they paying more now than Kootenai and whatnot? Homer Electric to NSTAR?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we don't have that calculated. The numbers, and, you know, in as we develop this and roll this out and better execute phase one, the more precise numbers, I think, are going to be important. These WoodMac numbers, I think, provide a very good foundation in terms of broad savings for the communities in the South Central versus Interior region. But we will work with the utilities, each one of them, NSTAR, HEA, MEA, Chugach Electric, and then our friends in Fairbanks, GVA, and IGU, to have a better understanding of what the impacts will be for each particular utility.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Just to clarify those numbers that you have shared with us, that is the sale price to the respective utilities. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes. This is calculated as the difference in cost between imported LNG versus pipeline supply.
Thank you.
By the utilities.
And one other thing that came to mind, could you expand on the sizing of the pipeline? Give us a little more information on that facet, the 42-inch.
Through the chair, Member Elridge, so the reason why the pipeline is sized at 42 inches is that it is that was the original design for the full throughput for the Alaska LNG project. And that's the pipeline design that went through the environmental and regulatory process, and all the permits are based on a 42-inch design. So we know that it's much larger than the needs solely within Interior and South Central Alaska. However, it allows ultimately for the full Alaska LNG project to proceed forward at the full volume flows of 3.3 billion cubic feet a day.
And that 42 inches, which you already have permits for?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right. So let's get the resolution on the table, and then we'll do some further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to motion resolution number G24-17, resolution of the Alaska Industrial and Export Authority regarding a credit instrument for use by the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation regarding financing a front-end engineering and design study.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. Well, I'd like to speak a little bit to this. So the fortunate part about this is with ADA, its mission, what it does, why it does it, how we do our conduct our business, being able to give dividends, we're in the fortunate position to be able to do this backstop. That's a very rare thing if you look at the other state agencies and corporations that, you know, we're coming in like we've done before, facilitating that could be a huge instrumental benefit to 550,000 people and counting. And some economic opportunities when it comes to if you have low price gas, relatively an energy cost to bring in the business. So I want to remind everybody that, you know, ADA's mission is not risk free. We take a look at individual projects and obviously scrutinize it as best we can. But at the end of the day, you know, this organization is designed to be able to look at that and take some of that risk. And I think today is, in my opinion, is a positive thing to be able to backstop in case it's needed on this feed for AGDC. The legislature has, if I correct me if I'm wrong, last session has approved, but they want the feed study done first. Is that correct, Greg? He's shaking his head, yes. And so we're here facilitating that exact same thing for them. So it's not like we're stepping off in left field. It's something that's, the legislature the governor dealt with last session. We're ultimately,
benefiting the AGDC organization by being able to help facilitate furthering this project. That's what I have to say about it.
This is a project originally imagined as an LNG export, and as such, it was permitted by FERC and then defended in court against that multiple times. It has been successful. This reimagining into a phased approach greatly decreases the overall capital costs as well as accelerates the timeline. It puts into the forefront the economics of providing gas and delivering it to Alaskans. And the number of different things that have occurred over the past few years have changed the overall economic aspect to see that it actually will be beneficial by delivering gas to Alaskans. And on top of that, there is the added additionality of different projects that can come after. But providing gas to Alaskans first is the goal. There's exporting is still on the table long term, as well as a lot of other industrial tenants coming on. And so this is a I see this as an overall benefit. This new phased approach has actually seen a lot more private capital interest, as I've seen in my other hat. This is an opportunity for ADA, as you said, just, you know, not without any risk, but to take a very transparent, knowledgeable, fiduciary just role to look at this to say, you know what, this actually helps. This fits within our means. But on top of this, fully expect our private partners to jump in because this backstop actually allows a private partner to start spending money. And they're going to do that to get through the FEED process. And so that's why I'm supportive of this resolution as we move forward. And I hope we get more capital partners jump in after this as they see this both level of state commitment as well as the private dollars start flowing in.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, David, would you poll the board?
Commissioner Crum?
Yes.
Mr. Elledge?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. All right. So that brings us to item number six, public comments. So, David, I remind everybody, is there anybody, 2 minutes per person, and please speak to what we have on the agenda today. And if you wouldn't mind, full name, affiliation, do you have any? And is there anybody in the boardroom wishing to make a public comment? All right, no one in the boardroom. David, is there anybody online?
If there are any members on the line that wish to make a public comment, please press *9 on your phone. You will be recognizing the order that you called. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Please state your name, affiliation.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Maddie Halloran. I am the state director for Alaska Wilderness League. I called in to speak to an item listed under your executive session discussion on the agenda today, leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I'm speaking to elevate the concerns of over 150 of our members who signed a petition asking you to please reconsider your plans to spend up to $20 million on Arctic Refuge oil leases. This petition and the list of signers was shared yesterday via email to your board for review before that executive session, since public comments taking place afterwards. Thank you so much for your time and consideration of our concerns.
Thank you. Is anybody there? Hello.
Hello. This is Pamela A. Miller. I'm in Fairbanks. I have to say, first of all, not knowing when public comment will be exactly, people may be listening, but you have to give them a chance to press 9 on their phones to be shown, since we can't be in the room with you living in Fairbanks. I'm very disappointed that there has never been public discussion of the resolution you passed about authorizing to bid on this upcoming Arctic Refuge lease sale. I have a question about what happened to the roughly $18 million that ADA got back from the federal government when they rejected the leases. It doesn't seem that you need $20 million more to waste of our public resources. I was listening to our school board meeting yesterday, and they're talking about the $2 or $3 million cost of an elementary school and that they don't have the funds in their budget. We know that the governor vetoed school funds in the last budget, but nonetheless, the infrastructure of elementary schools in our community is far more important than a few cents difference in cost of oil and gas. It's not been proven to our individual homes. And most Alaskans do not, maybe most Alaskans, a good proportion of Alaskans do not live on the rail belt. And this gas pipeline won't help them a bit. I can't believe that you're talking about giving $50 million to this private entity that is planning this gas pipeline, or the specialized entity that is planning to build the pipeline. And I also mentioned that Fairbanks would have to pay extra fees, extra costs to build the lateral pipeline from this main pipeline. It does not come through Fairbanks, so the benefits to Fairbanks may be quite less. I'd much rather ADA invested in renewable energy throughout the communities of Alaska. Thank you for this opportunity to comment.
Thank you for your comments.
Hi, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Thanks. My name is Sean McDermott. I'm the Arctic Program Coordinator with the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. I am calling also today to discuss the item that you had under executive session, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge leasing. And I am calling to express my ongoing concern with how ADA has approached engaging with the public about spending that $20 million to bid on oil and gas leases in the refuge. I was concerned to hear that at the November 7th meeting, the executive director suggested ADA has a constitutional mandate to pursue this kind of extractive development, essentially claiming that it is universally in the public interest, at the same time suggesting that the input of Alaskan community members who are being impacted by ADA's development doesn't matter. I think that if ADA were to be working in the public interest, there would be fully transparent economic and environmental analysis before undertaking these kinds of large-scale development projects. There would be more engaged, free and informed consent by communities in region before ADA pursues development projects like this. And I think ADA's decisions to spend tens of millions in public funds should be governed as laid out in the state constitution by the state legislature, not made behind closed doors. ADA is still using public funds to litigate against a science-based review and legal authority of the Department of the Interior to cancel the original 2021 Arctic Refuge leases. And I really don't think that adding another bad investment in the same area with the same environmental and community health implications makes any sense at all. ADA is not an oil developer. ADA has previously lost tens of millions of dollars trying to develop the Mustang Project and Robe. And I don't think bidding on oil and gas leases in the Arctic Refuge is an appropriate use of public funds and really doesn't support Alaska's best interests. So thank you. I appreciate having the chance to speak today.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Kristen Moreland, and I am speaking on behalf of the Gwich'in Steering Committee for all of our Gwich'in people. The land you're considering is critical to the porcupine caribou herd, which has sustained the Gwich'in people for thousands of years. Our caribou is more than a food source to us. It is our foundation for our culture, spirituality, and our way of life. The Arctic Refuge is sacred to us. Any development in this area would disrupt the caribou's calving grounds and jeopardize their survival and our own survival as our people. This is not just about the environment. It's about respecting the rights, sovereignty, and traditions of our indigenous communities. I am asking ADA to honor our voices right now
and our connection to this land. Please choose not to bid on these leases and instead stand with us to protect the caribou, the Arctic refuge, and the cultural heritage that depends on it. Thank you for listening and considering.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello, my name is Matt Jackson. I'm here commenting on the LNG project. I just moved here from Southeast, where we have very cheap, abundant renewable energy, so much abundant renewable energy. We're looking at using it to turn it into green hydrogen, and I was really struck by the lack of cost comparison to renewables in the conversation about whether or not to fund the natural gas pipeline. I believe a report by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory found that a rail belt grid with 76% renewable energy actually provided the absolute lowest cost alternative, and that comparison was conspicuously absent from your analysis. $50 million could go a long way in building renewable energy starting summer 2025. Don't have to wait for a pipe dream that might not produce natural gas at all, or in best case scenario in 2030. So I'd encourage you to be looking at more immediate concerns for rail belt renewable energy. That's all.
Thank you for your comments.
Chair, there are no more members of the public waiting to make a comment.
All right. I appreciate everybody's comments. They're well spoken, and we'll take those into consideration. I will close the public comment section. Bring this to item number G. Regular scheduled next board meeting is set for January 15th, 2025. And that'll go to number 8 to board comments.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I appreciate the work we got done today. I think the $20 million dividend that ADA is going to be providing to the state shows you the ongoing investments. You know, while ADA may hit the public on some of the ones that have failed, but that's what happens with a development export bank. The idea behind this is to actually generate economy, get a small return, but also stimulate Alaska business. The long-term returns and the projects that have gone on around the state get far too little attention. We have Red Dog Mine, which has completely sustained an entire region of the state for generations. And so there is a lot of work that has been done. I believe we do need more renewables in the state, but we need access and roads to resources in order to get that, to create the mines, to generate the critical minerals necessary in order to have renewable resources. And so as we look at this, I like this first step that we have had as the possible letter of credit for a backstop for the phased approach to the gas line, because we do have a near-term issue in front of us as how do we heat our homes as Alaskans. And then after that, there is an additional benefit of economic growth. And so we can look at this and provide how for our families and for Alaskans, and I appreciate the board on this, and I look forward to a lot of the private capital conversations that have been ongoing and what this is going to spur from there.
Thank you, Adam. Albert?
Mr. Chairman, I just can't state enough the important work that ADA is doing, especially their staff that is putting in tireless hours a week of overtime to bring these projects like AGDC to fruition. I couldn't even tell you there's many other projects that they're working on that will help bring jobs and increase the economy in Alaska. And, you know, the item that we did today for AGDC is like Commissioner Crum said, we can do both. We can do renewable and we can do oil and gas. It's an all-of-the-above strategy. And if you look at the work that we're doing, and you can see our sister agency, Alaska Energy Authority, they're doing a lot of renewables. So what we're doing is for the benefit of Alaska. It's ingrained into our Constitution that says that we have to be self-sufficient, and we were brought into the union to bring resources to development. And that's a fact. It's a state resource. It's a state's right that we have to bring not only the Ambler Road, but the gas line, develop ANWR. All these things were promised to us in statehood. So just appreciate, Randy, you and your team's awesome work that you're doing. And I know there's so many other projects that we could name that, that you're doing great work for and bringing to fruition. So thank you to you and your staff.
Thank you.
So I'd like a couple things. One is for the public's clarification. On the ANWR, we passed a resolution for the staff to look at it. We didn't pass a resolution to spend $20 million. That doesn't mean we're going to bid on a lease or one lease or 10 leases or 10. That's just determined. We don't even know what the feds are going to put out for leases, what the acreage is going to be. So it's basically an authorization for you to pursue and look at it. As far as where the money went on the last leases, they came back to ADA. ADA has used them to invest and to continue more projects. You know, without getting into detail, for those that may not be aware, but, you know, ADA has in its pipeline $500 million worth of requests. Now, it's never in its entire career that ADA has had that much that this staff is looking at and trying to do diligence at. Think about that for a minute, $500 million. Those are all projects or loans that benefit Alaskans and Alaska residents. And it's just not Anchorage. It's all over Alaska. So as the due diligence is done, what the public eventually gets is what eventually that the staff, through due diligence and consultants, end up saying this is a good deal for the public and the best use of the funds, given our mission, which is a rate of return and putting people to work long term. That's our mission. So, again, to what Albert said, there's a lot, folks don't understand, there's a lot of work that's being done behind the scenes. And like anything, we can't disclose to the public loans or investments because it's proprietary information. Eventually, we can, but not when it's in the due diligence phase or the research phase. That's kind of how it works. So, to me, again, thanks to staff, put this together. I want to thanks for being able to do the $20 million dividend, a good year for us. But there's a lot of asks for the assets that ADA has. And the next 12 to 18 months will be very interesting as far as what ADA participates or not. Because eventually you have to say, slow down a little bit because, you know, we don't have the resources for that. Randy, do you have any further comments?
I do.
Go ahead.
$20 million is a record amount of a dividend coming from ADA to the state. When you add all of those dividends together and you come up with almost $500 million, that is a tremendous testimony to the staff of ADA, their diligence, and what they are doing as staff for our state, for the public of Alaska. Just accolades for all of those things that is helping the whole state, not just one particular area. So, hand clapping for the staff of ADA. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Randy. Hold on here. So, again, on the AGDC thing, the rail belt consists of 74% of the population of the state, approximately. So it is a big deal. With that, no more comments. I'll take a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I motion to adjourn.
Second.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, we adjourn. Thank you.
Hey, Dana.